Hello, this is Pastor Ryan Clark. You are listening to a message from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota.
Grace, mercy, and peace be yours this day from God our Father, for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, as many of you know, and it's been announced, Dylan and I are done at seminary, and so I did want to take a moment to just say thank you. As being members here and growing up here and having your prayers and encouragement and support here and during our time at the seminary, on behalf of both of us, thank you so much for all that you have done. As you can imagine with graduation, as with any time in the summer, it gets kind of busy. There are a lot of different things going on. And that's certainly the case down in St. Louis where we were. It's U-Haul season down there. It's time where new students are coming in and students who have been there are leaving for Vicarage and leaving for their first calls. And so they're moving trucks everywhere and there are storage units everywhere. And some of the people are out there packing pretty frantically because they have a quick move out date and a quick turnaround to get to where they need to go. Well, Steph and I were packing too, and it was going good because we didn't have quite the tight schedule that some people had. So while some people were frantically chucking boxes into the truck, Steph and I actually calmly sat down and had a movie marathon for a couple of weeks while we were packing up some boxes. We sat down and watched the Hobbit movies and the Lord of the Rings movies. We had them on in the background, and if you haven't seen those for a while, I forgot myself that they run about 2.5 to 3 hours apiece. And I promise we really did get things done. We just had them on in the background. While we were watching those movies in that first one in the Hobbit series, there was something that caught my attention. There's a scene there, and it struck me as kind of strange. You have Bilbo Baggins, the main character, is sitting there on his front porch, and he's overlooking the town that he lives in, and his friend Gandalf comes up and talks to him, and Bilbo looks at him, and he says, "Good morning." And Gandalf looks back at him with kind of a puzzled look on his face, and he says, "What do you mean by good morning? Do you mean that this is a good morning, whether I like it or not? Or do you mean that you wish that I have a good morning? Or maybe you say that you are feeling particularly well on this morning. What do you mean?" And I kind of sat there. Every time I watch that scene, I think, man, that's a lot of questions for such a simple phrase, right? Like, what more could you mean? It's good morning. He's asking how he's doing. And you think, why all the follow-up questions? Well, really, when you think about it, there are some times that we say things that we say, but we don't always mean on the inside. And so Gandalf was asking him all these questions to figure out what he really meant when he said, "Good morning." But you don't need to watch The Hobbit to figure that out, do you? People have come up to you and asked you how you're doing, right? And maybe you're really close with them and you tell them all that's going on. "Oh, I'm so excited. I have this going on next week. And tomorrow we have these wonderful plans that I'm so excited for. Oh, and this just happened last week." But sometimes when people ask us, "Well, how are you doing?" And you say, "Oh, I'm good. I'm doing fine. Thanks for asking." But sometimes when we say that, that's not always how we feel on the inside. I think sometimes we do the same thing with forgiveness. This Sunday, we're continuing the series that you guys have been going through, the community, Made for Community, where we're looking at the way that God has called us to live together as his people. And so today, our focus for how God calls us to live among one another is forgiving one another. And you see that clearly in Colossians chapter 3. Forgive one another whenever there is a grievance or a complaint against one another. And I think all of us really want to do that. We're all Christians who love the Lord and want to serve and want to live as his people. But sometimes forgiveness isn't always easy. There are things that we can let slide. If a glass knocks off the table and water spills on the floor, oh, it's fine. We'll grab a towel. We'll clean it up. There's some things that are easy to forgive, but sometimes there are things that are hard to forgive. And sometimes we say, "Oh, I forgive you. Don't worry." But sometimes in our heart, even though we don't want to, we sometimes feel something else there. So what do you think we sometimes mean when we say, "I forgive you"? Well, sometimes we say, "I forgive you," and we say it externally, but we don't really mean it on the inside. In other words, we kind of say, "I forgive you," and we say it for the sake of the people around. But inside, maybe we're still wrestling with forgiving that person. Maybe you could imagine your family is inviting friends over. And that morning you realize, oh, there are these dishes that we haven't gotten done. The sink is full and the dishwasher's out. We have to get these done before people show up and see this mess here. And maybe one of you says, "Oh, I'll take care of it. Don't you worry." And as soon as the people get there, it slips your mind. Everybody walks in. And as soon as you open the door, you see, oh no, They're all still there. That sink is still completely full. Maybe you might say, I forgive you to the person who promised to do them. But maybe inside you're still feeling a little bit frustrated. And maybe forgiving is a little difficult. Maybe when you say, I forgive you out loud, sometimes what we feel inside is that I'll forgive them for now. Maybe sometimes we feel like, oh, that sink full of the dishes, that's easy for me to overlook. That's fine. But then as the days go on, maybe other things happen, other mistakes come up. Maybe something happens, a window gets cracked, or something happens at work where you get more and more frustrated. And sometimes you think back on that thing that happened, that sink full of dishes, and the forgiveness that you once gave can be taken away out of that anger, that frustration. Sometimes when we say, I forgive you, we mean in our hearts that it's conditional. Sure, I'll forgive you. Don't worry about it. But there's this long list of things you're going to have to do to make up for it. For this wrong that you've done to me, you're going to have to do this. You're going to have to do this and that. And finish this whole list of things in order to be forgiven. If you can just fulfill these things, then maybe I'll be willing to forgive what you have done to me. Sometimes we feel like our forgiveness is limited. Sometimes we have those things that we miss again and again and again. Sometimes you forget to do those things. You walk past that pile of dishes every time and you say, oh, I'll get to it. And then everything comes up. Things get busy. Your schedule gets full. There are things to take care of, pressing things that come up right away. And that thing you promised to do, you forgot to do. And day after day after day, you do that again and again and again. And sometimes when that happens to us, when someone makes us a promise and it gets broken again and again and again, we have a harder and harder time forgiving them. We could overlook one or two offenses, but sometimes when it happens again and again, it's hard to forgive. And we feel like our forgiveness is pushed pretty far. Like I said, some things are easy to forgive, but sometimes things push our ability to forgive. We want to. We really do want to live as God's people, but sometimes it is difficult to do that as sinful, fallen creatures. And where that comes from is sometimes some feeling within us that wants to be even, that wants the scales to be balanced. We feel like we've been inconvenienced and we've been made angry and feel like we aren't being treated fairly and that we deserve something in return for what has been done to us. Our anger is sometimes what lingers. That feeling of not experiencing what is fair to us sometimes lingers underneath those words of, I forgive you. What do we do when that happens? Even though we say many different things, sometimes we still wrestle with those feelings in our heart, that anger that we have inside when it's difficult to forgive. And we can say many things, but that anger is still there. But what it takes to change that isn't a lot of things that we might say. It takes something to change our heart. Our hearts need to be changed. And part of what changes our hearts as Christians is knowing how we have been forgiven by our Lord. Because when God says, I forgive you, he means something very different than what we sometimes feel on the inside. When God says, I forgive you, he means you're forgiven as a free gift. He offers it to you in his word. Listen to this verse from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not of your own doing, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. God's forgiveness for you is given as a free gift through his Son, Jesus Christ. He gives it to you. His grace is free, given through his promises. The faith which he creates in you is a gift that he does through his Holy Spirit and through the Word. And this is not of your own doing. It's not by your own works. He gives it to you. He doesn't have a long list of conditions that says, well, if you can check off this box and check off this box and check off that box, then I might consider forgiving you. God gives it as a free gift. And when we repent and when we believe in that promise, we are forgiven. When God says you are forgiven, he means that your entire debt has been canceled. I love this verse from Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I love that verse because in that verse, there is a quantifiable number of sins that stand before you when you face God, and it is zero. When we repent and believe the promises of God in Jesus, all of our sins are washed away. Not some of them, not most of them, not just the easy to forgive ones, not the hard to forgive ones. All of them in their entirety are gone. Christ has paid the whole debt for you and for me when Christ died on the cross. He died in our place, and we received the righteousness that was His. When God says you are forgiven, He means that your relationship with Him is restored. When God says, I forgive you as a free gift, He offers it. And when He clears that entire debt, He doesn't say, now go and do what you like. I don't want to hear from you again. But listen to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave to us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Especially in that first part, through Christ, God was reconciling us to Himself. And reconciliation doesn't just mean the debt is cleared and that it's given as a free gift. Reconciliation is a reuniting, that the relationship is restored, that what once divided and separated us from God is gone, and we are now reunited with Him. We are no longer sinners and enemies of God, but God has made you His beloved child, holy, chosen, and set apart, beloved by Him, because in you He sees the forgiveness won by Christ. He doesn't just send us off, never to be heard from again, but He reconciles us and reunites us with Him. When God says you are forgiven, He means that you are forgiven again and again and again and again and again. We all sin each and every day. We don't just sin one time, realize that we've done wrong, and say, oh, you know, I'll never do that one again. It'll never, never happen. We may say that, and we want that to be true, but at times we sin again and again. And yet every time, where there is a broken and contrite heart that repents of sin and trusts God's promises, God will forgive. Where there is repentance, there is forgiveness of sin, even though we might sin again and again, even though it might be the same sin that we try not to fall into, but fall into again and again. God forgives for those who repent and believe in His promises. Why would God do this? Why would God mean this when He says, I forgive you? After all, He knows our hearts. Well, it wasn't anything in us. It wasn't because we could have paid back the debt we owed if He just gave us more time. It wasn't just because if we had an infinite amount of time, we might be able to pay back a fraction of the debt that we owe or make up for it in any way. It was because of His great love for us. It was because He saw you and He loved you and I. He remembered us, stuck in our sins and trapped in our trespasses. He remembered us and didn't leave us there. It was out of His love that He sent His Son into the world, and out of His love that Christ died and hung upon the cross, that you and I might be pardoned for all of our sins. So what do we do then when we struggle to forgive others? Knowing that our hearts are changed because God has forgiven us, because God renews our hearts when we confess our sins and He forgives us. Well, one thing I encourage you to do is to pray. We're going to sing the words from Psalm 51 right after this, Create in Me. And many of us know where David was at when he wrote that psalm, having everything happen with Bathsheba. And he writes, Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me, but restore unto me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. What if we read that and prayed that to God when we were angry? What if we read that and prayed that to God when we had a difficult time forgiving? Lord, create in me a clean heart, a forgiving heart. Cast me not away from your presence, but restore unto me the joy of your forgiveness in Christ. Restore to me that joy that you have given me that I might be able to show that same joy to those around me. I encourage you to pray that whenever you feel that you have a difficult time forgiving, that God would create not a heart of unforgiveness or a heart of stone, but a heart of flesh, a heart that would forgive, that feels and knows what God has done for them, that they might do it for others. When you're struggling to forgive, I encourage you to go back to Colossians 3, specifically verse 12, that God would give you a Colossians 3:12 heart. Go ahead and take a look at what's written there in that verse. In your bulletin, hear what Paul says. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy, that is set apart, chosen, and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. Whenever there is a grievance, forgive as God has forgiven you. That first verse, put on a heart of compassion, a heart of kindness, a heart of humility, of gentleness, and of patience. Whenever you struggle to forgive, and after you've prayed to your Lord to give you a new heart, pray that God would grant you compassion to forgive those who seek forgiveness, to forgive those who come to you repentant of their sin, because there are times where we need to be compassionate rather than being bitter or angry or holding on to that unforgiveness. There are times where we need to be kind, helping one another, striving to live in harmony with one another, that we might forgive. Be patient to those who sin against you, even again and again and again, because your Lord has done that for you out of his love and mercy. And God's love and mercy changes our hearts to do that for others. In doing so, as we pray and as God works these things in us, we act more and more as the forgiving people that God has made us to be. I don't know who this morning that you are struggling to forgive. Maybe it's somebody else, or maybe it's you yourself. In either case, I pray that you would remember God's great forgiveness for you in Christ, that you'd remember his free gift of forgiveness that wipes away all of your sins in their entirety, that there are none left, who reconciles you to the Father, and who forgives you again and again and again. May God's love for us in Christ, which binds us all together, work that forgiveness in you, so that we might share that forgiveness with one another. May that forgiveness take root in us, that we might forgive others as God has forgiven us. In Christ's name, amen.
You've been listening to a sermon from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota. If you would like more information about St. John's and any of our ministries to our community and beyond, you can go to our website, www.stjohnsbuffalo.org. Thank you, and God bless you.